You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
I'm just rolling down the highway, stopping at the byway, looking for the old man of our day. I'm looking for the stories back in their days of glory, just to see what those old men have to say. And I'm looking for the stories of our land. I'm looking for them everywhere I can. Old men's stories are the reason, and I'll listen any season. I'll search for these old men across the land. Yes, I'll search for these old men across the land.
Roland Willits.
Jeff Young.
Old Men's Stories. Welcome to our show. During our 130th show, we clean stuff. From guns to homes, from basement to the gutters. Cleaning is a perpetual activity in infinite environments. You continuously are surrounded with cleaning stories. It is almost too easy. Remember, avoiding cleaning is a story. We can always clean, and sometimes it feels like that is all we do. So in the interest of easies, to find a story, make this a funny and interesting old man story.
Good afternoon from Fremont, California and Lake Lizzie, Minnesota. It's Old Man Stories. And as you heard, today we are cleaning up our act. I guess it's been a while since we've cleaned the house, so to speak. And I guess I'll start with Roland. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I have a lady that is a very clean person, and she has worked extremely diligently for 35, 37 years, showing me the attributes of cleanliness.
I can say that entropy definitely has a reasonably sized foothold where I live, but I am very pleased to say that is no longer the case in my office. I cleaned offices about a month ago, and to date, I still have a completely clean desk at the end of the day, and my shelves are organized, and my stuff is put away at the end of the day. And really, that is going to be part of the theme of the day. Whenever you think that there's too much stuff in your house or kitchen or whatever to keep clean, start small. Doing zero cleaning gets nothing cleaner and gives, like tooth decay, the mess the opportunity to get worse.
Yes. Yes. No action is an action when it comes to cleanliness.
All right. Well, I will take a moment to give people advice to my favorite new keep things clean tool. It's a little web application tool called Habit RPG, found at habitrpg.com. And what it is, it's for all of you gamer folks out there who want to turn getting things done into a little bit of an adventure thing. You set yourself up with a bunch of habits and to-dos and dailies, if you will, things you have to do every day, and you make them into list items to check off. And for everything you check off, you get a little bit of experience and a little bit of gold. And the idea is that when you get enough gold, you reward yourself with something that you've done, that you've wanted for such hard work. But it's a lot of fun for me since I've been into the whole Dungeons and Dragons thing since I was a kid. And there are collection things for those of you who like shiny pixel objects. And generally, what you do is the more you do, the higher chance you have of collecting stuff. Now, I've gotten a few people into this as time goes on. And I've been doing this for a couple of months. And all it really is a cleverly disguised motivational to-do list where if I see that cleaning the toilet has gotten all the way down to red status, I know it's time to clean the toilet. Versus things like scrub down the stovetop is now a twice a week action instead of I'll get to it later. And then I've added other things like eat healthy and get to bed before 2 a.m. And these are things that have definitely improved my life. So that's tip number 2. Make a routine. Schedule stuff. And if you are the kind of person who works with schedules, try Habit RPG. You might like it. It certainly works for me. One of the problems with cleaning is that it's really, really messy. And some people are really averse to getting messy. And I have news for you. There is such a thing as soap for more than one purpose. And the reality is the faster you get stuff clean and the more often you get stuff clean, the less it builds up. And this is something that I've learned somewhat recently. And I know this is probably common sense to a lot of you who clean regularly and are nodding their heads, but the more you cook, the more the grease builds up on surfaces that you wouldn't expect. When I go and I clean the microwave, one of the things that I do is I wipe off the top of it because there's oil deposits from all the cooking I've been doing, and it turns into steam, it carries right up to the top of the vents, and there it goes, and touching the top of the microwave is a sticky mess. You kind of think about it, it kind of goes to all things. So cleaning top to bottom is another bit of advice. If you clean the bottom first, that is sweeping the floor, then you clean the stove, all the stuff on the stove winds up on the floor half the time. Well, not all of it, but a good amount of crumbs. And then once you clean up the stove, you clean up the microwave, which is above the stove, and it's up on the stove. Start from the top, finish from the bottom, sweep, and then mop.
I was thinking about cleanliness. I thought about it, and I said, what are some cool attributes of cleanliness? And I said, well, I used to teach cleanliness. This is sort of like the kettle calling something black, you know. It's I was a counselor a couple of summers, and I had a crew of 8 kids, and I slept in a tent with them, and they slept around, and I had to teach them cleanliness. It was our tent, and we had it inspected every day, and we had to make it up, and we had to clean around the whole, you know, clean around the base, and they had to set their shoes and all their gear up in a really neat, orderly fashion so that everything could be found and everything was just really neat and clean. You know, it was outstanding and I did an absolutely phenomenal job. In fact, we won a couple of times, you know, when you have a whole, golly, you have about maybe 16 tents every once in a while we'd win the whole thing, right? Because our tent would be the cleanest. One of the things that I did find, though, is that usually in one of the 8 kids, there was a super neat kid. And I found out how to delegate because I would have him inspect all the others because he would be that clean person. And that's times we won. The times we didn't win is where we didn't have the clean person. And they were all run-of-the-mill boys. It was a boys' camp. But we made it through, and we always were in competition because all the groups were in different competition through all the different things they went on. And it was one of those times in my life where I was clean. Wow, I think about it now, and I sort of pat myself on the back and then hump my chest and climb on a vine and go from one tree to another. It's just really cool. Jeff?
I haven't quite reached super cleaner status yet. Not even close. But being able to look at a clean kitchen and a clean bathroom and the rugs vacuumed in the same day, a surprisingly positive sense of accomplishment. One of the other weeklies on my list of things to do is clean out the junk mail. And for the past month and a half, there has been no junk mail in the house on Sunday evenings. and the sinks and stove are clean always. And that is just a foothold of having a better household. Now, let's go to some cleaning tips. And everyone has their own household cleaning tips of how to clean things better. And I've done any number of how to clean your house better research things in the past several years because it's always been said that I have a cluttered household and stuff like that. And one of the two best ones that I know of are to put together a cleaning kit, if you will. It doesn't have to be fancy, like a basket of stuff, just as long as you know where all your cleaning supplies are. And recognizing that a little bit of soap, a sponge, and the paper towels go a long way. And from there, having a really good broom and a mop set. And then from there, being able to set aside some time to clean. It doesn't have to be for hours on end. Just pick up a little bit. Have the routine that I have is empty the recycle can downstairs, come back up, do the junk mail, and then find another spot in the room to start clearing off papers from. And I have gone through boxes of papers that have been sitting in the front room for 7 or 8 years now and consolidated them down from 4 to 1 box just by getting rid of the stuff I don't need, which is a good tangent to getting rid of junk mail, whether it's email or regular mail. You just simply, instead of looking at it and saying, oh, I'll take care of this later, figure out whether you want to save it or get rid of it, and then do exactly that. The circulars for the coupons in it, those would always pile up on every flat surface we had in the house. But lately, they've just been going away. Walk in there with the mail, say, okay, here's stuff we need to keep. This is a bill, this is a bill, this is, oh, look, it's the car insurance. Definitely want to keep this one. Junk mail, junk mail, junk mail. Trash it immediately. Stop it from coming into the house. Stop it, slow it down from building up on surfaces. And getting it done on a Sunday evening is taking less and less time as I go. And that should be able to apply to everything else. So your good cleaning kit should have a way to put things in the trash. Even if you have to carry a trash bag around with you just for papers or recyclables, it goes somewhere. Knowing stuff has its place. We have the infamous change jar, where instead of having loose chains in every single desktop bucket or whatever, every time you find some change, bring it to the change jar in the front room, drop it in there. And what you do with it is up to you, but if nothing else, it's always dropping in the Coinstar bin at the grocery store, and you lose a bit of cash in the process, but you get some real money back. As for me, what I do with my change is, if I see change on the floor, I pick it up, throw it in a little bin that I have on my dresser, and then every now and again, I'll take a handful of change as I go out the door in the morning, drop it in my car. It goes to either the gas station when I get gas, because gas never comes up to exactly the dollar. I'll take a handful to the grocery store and spend it with that, or I'll bring some to the office, and when I eat lunch at the office from the cafeteria, I have change. And so I'm slowly recycling my change that way. Of course, when I finally got rid of the old red Mazda, cleaning out the change from the depth of that car, I think there's at least $7 or $8 worth of coins that have built up over the past decade plus of driving that thing. So it's going to take a while to get rid of that. So it's currently sitting in a dish on the dining room table. But that's sort of my story there. Roland.
Jeff, you have quite a cleaning process there.
It is a labor of love and time.
Oh. Yeah, I found out what works for me, except when she gets upset. And but she knew what she was getting into when she married me. So she's actually got me trained a little better than upon our initial meeting and her learning about my neat habits. However, you know, you have to get, I was in the Navy for 5 years, 6 years, and I somehow made it through. And thank golly gee, I was an officer, and I could get away with a little messier place, getting away from everyone. As long as I was super neat when I was out there in public, I was just fine. Oh, I have a cool story. I told you I was a trainer for the boxing group, you know, for boxers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the actual designated trainer was the Marine DI for our little squadron. Okay, it was Navy and Marines in the aviator program, and pulled me in, and I was the ad hoc trainer. I was the one that was always there because he came, looked, and then left. And when we won all six matches, everyone put him on their shoulders and they walked away. But they didn't forget that I had did this. And when they got back, they noticed I was having problems passing inspections. So the DI that was there, that smoker they called him. And after that, he retired. And a new one came in and they told him the story. So what he did is he put me in a room with the Marines. And the Marines that were in the aviator program had already spent several, many years in the Marine Corps already. And they were neat and nicks. They knew how to clean everything. And they would clean up their stuff and come over as I was struggling. And they would, all three of them would go through everything that I had and neaten it up for the inspections. And they did that for almost 3 months for me. And I made it through cleanliness because of these wonderful super friend Marines. I never can stop bragging about how clean and neat Marines are on top of everything else. Jeff?
I cannot believe that you have managed to one-up those people who say that they have a maid. No, you didn't have a maid. You had a team of Marines to come in and clean your place. Now, that is definitely...
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I never thought about it that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have a team of highly trained Marines to destroy the clutter in your room. Fortunately for me, well, actually, there's a part of the back room that I definitely need to think about sending in the Marines on myself, because I have no place to put this stuff. And that's I think I'm up to number four. Tip number four. Everything that you can put away, put away. In the sense that if something doesn't have a place in your house, it's going to find its place somewhere else. And you'll never know where it is. And this may seem like common sense, but in truth, we come up with so much stuff that you never know where everything is, just because every time you put more stuff, it's never assigned a general place. And the antique stores and the Home Depot places, they make a killing on selling you these brushed wood magazine racks and newspaper holders. But like I said earlier, it's kind of like with email or regular mail. You get a box for recycled newspapers and junk mail, take it out every week. If it's something you want to keep as a bill, I've been having a lot of success with a $10 plastic set of drawers that I bought from Target on sale. And I put it in the living room, and that giant-sized drawer full of bills has been converted into a very nicely organized in five categories. These are all the utility bills. These are all the dead credit card bills. These are all of the important papers. And at the end of every 6 months, I'm going to take each of those drawers, empty them out into Ziploc bags and shred everything I don't need, start again. And so I've gotten rid of the ubiquitous box of finished bills that have been sitting around for a while. And again, this is something that just kind of clicked in my head that I have a place for these things now. They go here instead of piling up somewhere. Getting organized is not an easy thing. When you recognize that you shouldn't be living out of moving boxes, and there are still boxes in the basement that have not been opened since we moved 10 years ago, then stuff is going to pile up. Once you recognize that the things that you want to keep have a place, you get better from there. Little incremental improvements. Like I said, know where your cleaning stuff is, and then when you want to clean stuff, you know exactly where everything is, and you start off, and it's not having to dismantle the cloth to get the vacuum cleaner out. And not having to figure out where the Swiffer things are, they're right above the mop. And not having to figure out where all these extra plastic bag things go, they go with that thing right above the broom there. And having a recycle bucket next to the sink is a lot better than having things sitting around and waiting for you to throw it out. So figure out a way to develop your system, keep building on top of it, add more things to it. And the more that you organize your life, the less disorganized your life becomes. Roland.
Yes, Jeff. Try not to get too distracted with everything else as I'm listening to the cleaning stuff. Because I'm like the little kid in school where the teacher is talking about something that they have to avoid, or they look out the windows and they fidget. And well, that's what I do when people talk about cleaning.
Oh.
I fidget and I look around and I see how I can escape. And if last resort, I escape with my mind. I'm fairly neat. I was with Angie and I was with Ron this week, and we were down at a jam. Go to one of those things, and you're busy all day long, and then all of a sudden things happen, and you put things in another spot, you put things every place else, and you put it in the car, or I got to get this other thing out, so you move everything out onto the ground, you get what you want, and you sort of throw everything back in. And so you get done with all that, and then you come home. And you get home, you've driven 5 hours, and you look at the mess in the car, you look at the mess in the RV, and you say, I think I'm going to bed. You go to bed early evening because you look mess, and you say, I've got to handle it. But then you get up the next morning, and then something always seems to be there because you were gone a week. All these other activities pile up. The mess in the car is there, and the mess in the RV. So you start going out and grabbing one thing at a time to clean it up.
Yep. See you in a few minutes.
Jeff.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
This is Terry Willits, Mom Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, we welcome you to Old Men Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
And we're back with more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Old Men Stories. I'm Jeff Young, and Roland Willits is here. And we are clinging around the metaphysical, physical, and theoretical households. Roland, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jeff. And I agree, we're sitting around the theoretical cleaning. I don't mind theoretical cleaning.
In truth, cleaning starts with how you think about cleaning. Because if you can't think about cleaning as more than the, oh my God, I don't want to do this, I never want to clean, you're never going to do it. I have gotten to think of cleaning as less of a chore and more of a personal challenge. One of the hardest things that I've had to do and this is less of a cleaning thing physically, but more of an electronic thing, is that one of my habits that I have is destroy more email than you ever receive. So every day when I come into work, I look at how many new emails I have, and I'll say like 15, and I look at my email box, and it says you have 720 emails. So I need to destroy at least 15 emails, preferably 30. And over the course of the past month, I've gone from 1,200 emails, and I'm down to 52. So this is actually working for me, because every single day I come in and I destroy more email than I receive. By that edict, I have less email at the end of the day than I did when I came in at the beginning of the day. And it doesn't matter how much comes in during the day, because they show up as new emails the next day. There have been times where I've gotten down to zero mail. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, if I can do that with my email box, why not as something else? How about physical mail? How about the dishes? How about the library in the back room that no one has touched for 4 or 5 years? You can do things little by little. You don't have to see your cleaning task as one giant thing that's going to take up an entire day or an entire weekend. Some people see spring cleaning as this giant-sized war that they do once a year. You'll have less to do once a year if you do a little bit every week, or even just at the end of the day before you go to bed. And that's the secret behind everything has its place, really, is that bring something new. If you're about to buy something new, before you even buy it, say, where does this go in the house? Because, well, buying kitchen appliances, there have been appliances that we looked at and said, that's not going to fit in the kitchen anywhere, and we didn't buy it. When we finally got something that we wanted, it went into the spot because we figured out where it was supposed to go. Let's go ahead and tell us about our storyteller for today, Roland.
It's my mom. And my mother is 97, and I think it's a very, very wonderful story. Hi, Ma.
Hello, yes.
I'm calling because you're going to be on the radio tomorrow.
Bye.
Yes, and it's about cleaning stuff. And, you know, I can't think of anyone that I knew more that cleaned stuff.
Does it stay clean, though?
Never.
Never.
When we were kids. Never. When we were kids, it never stayed clean,
no,
did it?
No, it never did. I had to go back and clean it again. Where are you at?
I'm at the cabin.
Oh.
I told you I didn't get a chance to visit you because...
Well, that's all right.
We got stuck in the mud.
Did you?
Yeah, we spent the whole day getting out of the mud.
What?
We're going to see you next weekend.
What?
Tell me, we got to do more on cleaning stuff. It's the story tomorrow on the radio show is about cleaning stuff.
Yeah.
So you get to help me with it.
Well, what are you cleaning?
Oh, what are you cleaning? Remember when you used to clean the house?
Well, you clean the floors and you clean the walls and what you cleaned every day, every week.
Remember you used to get on your hands and knees.
Well,
and
yeah,
clean
that's
the floor.
How we clean. But they don't do that anymore. Nobody uses hands and knees no more. Nobody uses hands and knees. You can't even pay. You know, if you get people to come work for you, they won't get on their knees. They'll never kneel. They'll do it with a yardstick, with a stick, with a boomstick, whatever you use. They won't get on their knees no more. And I had help. They didn't do anything like that. They would never get on their knees at all. So then, at any time, that's how they modern their equipment now. You'll see, they'll tell you not to get on your knees. But I did everything on my knees. I couldn't clean unless I got on my knees and got in the corners and that. They don't do that anymore. Oh, they're modern nowadays. They help you take good price for my help. And they take a mop stick and they get around the corners. They're around the corners. How you go around a corner, that's how they clean. If they leave, you got to go around and clean the corners. That's the truth. Yeah. I thought
sure
that was
is.
Just talk. I thought that was just some people. But I find out that every higher house, like a place where they let out their people for hire, all believe that. They don't get anything on their knees. And you don't wash windows. If you're rated for a regular day, if you go to work at a woman's house for a day, unless you start off with this understanding, they won't take and wash windows, and they won't wash woodwork around your windows. They'll wash the window sill. That's the only thing they'll wash is the window sill. They don't do themselves very much cleaning, I'll tell you that. They wouldn't do any heavy cleaning, anything Maybe they don't know. Get by with what they do.
You have to get by with what they do.
That's right. What's going to happen? Tell you one to watch out.
Well, you're doing great, Ma. Did you ever go out and clean?
Oh, yes. I did that when you kids were growing up. When I needed extra money and I didn't have enough for groceries, I'd go out there. The money I earned from cleaning the house, and I met her there, and she wanted somebody to clean her house. So she gave me the key, and she said, where the house was, it was on 42nd Street, right past Cedar Avenue. She was the one done to the house. I didn't do it, only the downstairs, mind you. But I had to wash the windows and her coffee table. She had dishes that she wanted to show off. And you had to wash them dishes up. Every day, every week, you come there, wash the dishes. And her dining room, she had cups and saucers. You had to wash the cups and saucers every week. And then you take and clean the entry, the front entry. Wash that floor up real good on your hands and knees and get all the corners good and clean. And then from then on, you had to vacuum the rug. But you only ran the rug one way. If you were doing it from the east to the west, you got the whole rug cleaned, all the clear rugs cleaned that way. So you had to move every furniture that was on rugs because you'd miss a place then if you didn't go straight. You had to move the furniture, get all the rugs vacuumed evenly the same way. And then after that, you would take and vacuum everything all up there. Then you dust the furniture. She had some dust, I don't know the name of it. You put it on your rag, and you wrap it real good into your floor furniture. Then you had a kind of a flannel rag that you dry you while you wiped it off real good afterwards, keep it nice and dry and shiny. So you did that. You polished all your furniture. And then after you did that, you did the stairs, and you did your stairs. And vacuum all your steps down by hand, you know, your vacuum cleaner. And get them all vacuumed, all nice and clean down. And wash that window there. And when you get down there, downstairs, then you finish vacuuming the carpet. You couldn't finish vacuuming the carpet until you did the upstairs because you have the run of the carpet would be going the wrong way then if you didn't do it that way. Then you got through with that. You went down the basement and washed your clothes. You washed sheets and pillowcases and everything like that, and then you dried them. Then you could wash your clothes, the clothes in the bed, which you had your sheets and your pillowcases and everything. But you make sure, because they leave money all over the house, and so be sure to leave all the money, but leave it in the same place that it was laid. Don't move it. Just leave it there. After you did that, then you would wash your clothes, and then you dried your clothes all up. Brought them back upstairs and put them in the drawers where they belong. And the bathroom, I never had to clean the bathroom. She always kept her own bathroom clean. She didn't want me to touch the bathroom. So I never did the bathroom. By the time you got that much done, the day you got about 6 hours in. Then you wash your if she had any in the kitchen before you leave, I forgot to say that. You go in the kitchen, you wash the dishes if there's any dirty dishes around, and then I would wipe the front of the cupboards, wipe them with a clean rag, you know, get all the dust and that off the cupboards. And then I would wash the kitchen floor. You had to wipe, but that was done on your hands and knees. And then you would wipe it on your steps, down the stairs, down the basement stairs. You cleaned your basement steps. Then if your time wasn't up yet, then you went out and swept the front porch and the steps. It gave you 3 hours to do that in.
Tell me, do you remember spring cleaning?
I sure do. But spring cleaning was different. When you spring clean, you took everything apart. You clean your dresser drawers. You clean your dresser drawers. That's the first thing you start with, your dresser drawers and your cupboard and your refrigerator, not refrigerator, your clothes closets. You clean those are the first thing you always got them nice and clean. Then it isn't so hard to clean the rest of the house. You have everything put away again in your cupboards. First of all, you clean your cupboards, you know, and get them all washed out. And that you don't have to do your dishes if the dishes haven't been used and they're clean. Just dust them with a dusting rag and put them back in your cupboards. Have to wipe the cupboards up clean, especially if they got grooves in the front of them and that. And then you take in your mattresses. You take an, if you don't take your mattress off, you take it and wipe it off with a damp rag. Just make it wet. Just damp enough to clean the dust. If there's any dust in there, maybe it isn't any dust, but just to wipe it off if there happen to be some bugs or anything on it. But usually, when it comes to cleaning the bed, you have two of you. So it takes two people to turn the mattress over and clean the stead up. We all got a bedstead real good and clean. Then you got, when you get your bed clean, you got your bedding on. You always got all clean bedding on. Your bed, your sheets, your pillowcases, and mattress pad and everything's clean. But leave that, then that's clean. Be sure to wipe your bed off real good when you got it apart like that. Wipe the mattress and the springs and then all on the edge of the bed where you don't reach very easily. You do the same to your dresser. Clean your dresser on the outside and the back of the dresser. Wipe that off real good. Get all the dust out of it. I tell you, it's work to house clean. You can't do more than one a day if you do a good job of it. Now, what else do you want to know?
That's spring cleaning, Emma, one room at a time.
Well, that's spring cleaning. That's if you got the time to do it. If you haven't got very much time, you have to do just part of it. Well, like do the bed all clean up one day, or do your dressers all clean one day. Then you have, if you only got time for one job at a time a day, you know, you only got so much time a day, then do one job, whatever you have to do. There's drawers, the bottom of your drawers and inside your drawers, there's always going to be something in there. And if you're careful with it, put fresh paper down on the bottom of your drawers. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of work to house cleaning. You know, boy, I did a lot of it in my day. When I used to work at St. Paul, I had to take and change the papers in the drawers every week. I'd take all those old papers off, put fresh ones in. I remember that. I thought it was so foolish to do that, but she insisted. So I had to do it every week. The name was Alton. That's the first job I worked. They worked on the St. Paul before I was, that's before I was married. It was the first, and that's the first place I worked. They lived a different type of, the rich people then was different. I remember coming from the farm, I come into town, you ate in the kitchen, you never ate with them. You put a tablecloth on for them, put fancy dishes on, you put the dishes on, feed them real good, and you ate what was left. You cleaned off the table, and if the food was left, that's what you got to eat. And then they had three children, and she teach them how to eat at a table, a nice table with a tablecloth and everything. So that's why I had all those fancy dishes and fancy tablecloths and everything. She was teaching them how to eat in company. I found it hard because I slept in the attic. That's where I slept. Well, coming from a farm and moving up to an attic, you'd think it wouldn't be a big move, but it is. It's a big move. I thought, oh, I'd have so bad to get up there in the attic. Just like, then in the morning, you'd get up real early. You'd get breakfast and get the kids fed, and then send them off to school. And then she'd go too. And they had those dresses pleated from the waist down. And I had to iron in those dresses to school every day. They're pleated from the waist down. Please, I remember there's two girls. So I had to have those dresses. Fresh ones every day. I hurry up and get them. I dress ready to go to school in the morning and send them off to school. And whether it was dirty or not, she had to vacuum the house, the whole house. I worked like a horse. I always worked like a horse, and I've worked out. That's why when I got help and they sit around, it kind of drives me up the street. I can't believe that. We'll get a job, and they sit around and do half the work they're supposed to do. And sometimes they don't do it at all. They're like washing my floor. They go by about washing the floor. And I tell them, you didn't wash the floor, Elijah. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. Because under the cover here, at the end of the day, I said, underneath there, it wasn't washed. So you didn't wipe it. Wash under the everything. And then they'd admit they hadn't washed. So that's an awful way to get somebody to come and clean your house. They don't even wash all of it. I wouldn't be good to work for you. I want things done right. But I never could afford it. That's different. Things are different. Yeah, when we lived in St. Paul or in Minneapolis or in Longfellow Avenue, we had nice floors and stairs in that. My floors were always good. I made darn sure that their feet weren't dirty when they came upstairs, and I kept the floors nice and clean up there. Their beds are all, they all had each had their own bed to sleep in. I always see that there's a bed for each one of them. They all had their own beds to sleep in. Clothes, I don't remember ever having clothes on their floor. Now they talk about kids throwing clothes on their floor. Well, I don't know, but my kids never did. We had a small, very small closet to put the clothes in, but they hung their clothes. I never remember ever picking clothes up off the floor. Unless they're dirty clothes, they'll throw them in the wash. And they always hung their clothes up. Your kids took care of their rules. You had to do a lot yourself, because when I worked, I had a lot of work to do, so I couldn't do all the little odds of jobs. They did their own odd jobs. And they could take care of themselves. They hung up their clothes. They never dropped their feet on the floor. That's the truth. And then the meals, they almost came to meals. I can remember Dad. We put you on the other end of the table. And you used to get served before Dad said once, you put me in where he, well, you serve him first. He wanted to be the first one to get served.
I love you, Ma, and we will see you next weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things that my mom never really did a lot of, which was get after us to keep our stuff clean. I remember cleaning underneath the bed when I was a kid was a definite adventure, because there would be so much dust under there that you couldn't hardly breathe after cleaning for a bit. And I admit that I used being kind of sick from all the cleaning as a way to stop cleaning. But, you know, I can honestly say that I am cleaner now than I have been in my youth, just because I appreciate being able to have a clean house. Unfortunately, my bedroom still needs to be organized and cleaned, and I've been kind of putting it off because I only go back there to sleep and to put my clothes after laundry. So a little bit of it at a time, and I'm reclaiming the front room, like over the past month or so. And I will definitely be working my way back there in the next month or so. If not, you heard it here first, and I will duly take the damage from having that daily not checked off, so to speak. That is one of the last bits of advice I can give about cleaning. If you haven't used it in more than 5 years, maybe it's time to get rid of it. As the late, great George Carlin, I believe, was known to say, you don't live in a house. You don't buy a house. You just rent the house from the bank as opposed to a landlord, and all your house is a place to put your stuff. And when you get too much stuff, you can throw it out, but no one ever throws it out. But instead, you get a bigger house, you can throw more stuff. I am, however, proud to say that after 12 years of living in a place that has a garage, we still keep our cars in the garage. The place we're in right now came with shelves on the side, and those are stocked full of boxes, and so is the crawl space underneath the stairs. But we are still parking our cars in the garage, and we are proud of it. So we are not a lost cause for getting rid of stuff. We are not a lost cause for cleaning, because our garage is taken up by cars like it's supposed to be, and not like all the other people that we live around the neighborhood whose garages are filled with stuff. One last story before we get out of here. The thing about cleaning is that, like everything else in your life, it's a choice. And like Roland's mom said, just a little bit every day, make it a part of your exercise routine, make it a part of your meditation ritual, make it a part of your sense of accomplishment, your journal, what did I do today, do one good thing. They say that cleanliness is next to godliness. If you can't find your stuff, it's time to clean. And so I think we've cleaned up enough for one day. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week with more Old Men Stories.
Stuff. We collect a lot of it over our lifetimes. It tends to pile up everywhere around us because a lot of things don't have a place. It takes a lot of focus and a lot of willpower to get stuff cleaned up, and entropy is always making more mess in our lives. What are your methods for getting things cleaned up, and do they work for you? Or is it time to hire a maid? Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Man Stories.
been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share, too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.